better score on it. I know who it is. Including the one that I heard was till 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was my house.
Yeah, it was
party.
It was something that
having caution. With all the parties and everything else, don't expect a lot.
Why you want
And I'm going to ignore the mic, so tell me if you don't hear me. Well, here's what I intended to go over, was tell you a little bit about Emulex. I think both of you guys know about Emulex pretty well. I've worked with partners from both your companies, so tell you a little bit about the time. Am I doing this right? Just you show, right? I don't know why there's a timer. I wasn't even near it. Okay. So, yeah, that's to keep you on pace, evidently. Then I wanted to just say what we're doing in Community Source, why we decided to go there, some of the experiences, and contrast it a little bit to open source. Hi, I'm James Smart from Emulex. We're going very informal today. I think all the parties have trashed everybody, so. Okay. So, just real quick, who are you and why do you want to listen to this? And
no. Look here, I have a choice between three classes and.
So, what I'm hoping is if I can understand what you want to know out of this, I can try and tailor some of the answers here and points a little better for you.
I'm from Northwest Community Schools.
Yeah.
We're an Emulex from Northwest. And there's a decision between EPA and DRS. In order to figure it out. HP C-class waves with very fast. Or it's to get a deeper understanding of Emulex back end, understanding what goes on, how they approach it, what issues they run into, so I can push on VMware from my side.
Hey, Mark, do you mind running out and telling them that it's auto-advancing and I have no idea how to control it on the presentation? Okay, so I'm going to get started. We have Alan Tan from VMware Community Source that just stepped in at the back. As I mentioned, you know, I'm subject today to, I guess, a lot of the parties and, you know, the hangovers and so on, so we'll see how it goes. So just giving you some background real quick, you know, our primary business is Fibre Channel HDAs and endpoint We do have a large amount of business that goes in storage arrays in the back end doing fiber channel switching. We also have several other products that address the IP space. So we have IP, iSCSI fiber channel routers, distance extension products, and in the future you'll see more networking products come out.
I think what it is they're quicker.
Okay, no, that would be great.
Just unplug this. I think it should.
Okay. Good, thank you. I had the ghost show going on.
Is it working okay now?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. Okay. We're headquartered out of Costa Mesa, about 30 miles from here. We've recently undergone some growth expansion, so we picked up companies such as Vixel, which produced the switching chips, Trevia, which was the company I was CTO at that did iSCSI and fiber channel endpoints and bridge chips, Rohi, which is another startup that was doing 10 gigabit Ethernet, and some storage virtualization that goes into some switches. And a very recent one of Sierra Logic that does a lot of back-end bridge chips for SATA and fiber channel and some SAS expertise. So just customer list here that says we're in the bulk of the Fortune 100 here. In fact, I think we're almost fully covered here. If we're not, it's in the single-digit number. Just a quick comment on just all the partners that we work with on a basically a daily basis, both in the server space, the storage endpoint space, and then you know, the infrastructure, OSs, and so on that it takes to deploy the product. So starting to bridge now into our effort under Community Source. So when you look at the server virtualization in SANS, what you're finding is that the bulk of storage attachments for ESX end up being SAN attachments, and there's some pretty reasonable explanations for that. For one, as you start doing enterprises, you know, they're using larger amounts of disk, they want to go into disk farms, storage arrays, and so on. Also, when you go into ESX and enterprise class, you want to go into high availability configurations with ESX servers, clusters, excuse me. So all of that drives to a shared storage connectivity. So SAN deployment in the virtual server space is much higher than you would see on the standard server space, which still has a lot of direct attached storage to it. So as far as how virtual servers are being deployed right now, we're still seeing that the real enterprise deployments are just putting the toes in the water on this. They're starting to understand what it takes to deploy it, what the real opportunities for them are. They're using existing tool sets, and of course the SAN management practices that they've had in the past aren't quite the same because the server is virtualized now. But in general, you know, they're starting to adjust to moving to this environment. So if you look at ESX and what it takes for deployment in SAN, I'll go to the second bullet here. And the key point there is storage presentation is different. What you see is that the server itself, which may be multiple machines, now has to see all storage. And in the past, you had a HBA to single server relationship, and the storage SAN practices for zoning or creating one presentation on the arrays and so on was very much based on this system level, you know, single system to HBA relationship. And with the virtual servers, that doesn't exist. So obviously anything coming out of the server, it's indistinguishable what VM actually initiated the IO. There's very little key off there for quality of service differentiation in the fabric or even on the back end arrays. And obviously troubleshooting, seeing an issue with one VM and not others becomes very difficult because you don't know what the IO is that's related to it. And going on the SAN configuration, because all servers and all storage have to be in a zone, that's very different from the standard SAN practices. Standard SAN practices tried to reduce it down to the minimal set so that you didn't deal with interoperability issues, say configuration, change resolution, adapters seeing other adapters to consume more time. So best practices just condense it down. But with open zoning that you must do for the service right now, you know, it presents some challenges there. Well, in most respects, it's a requirement of running ESX, and, you know, we all do a good job of qualification here, so it works. But they do notice all of the things in that first bullet that are missing. And, you know, it really comes down to some of the tasks that they did in the different admin groups. It's amazing on some of the bigger Wall Street folks and their IT department, how they actually partitioned, who gets to control what, how they configure what, and it gets blurred a lot more. So in general, you know, they live with it, but they're obviously looking for something better. It works very well when it's small, but as it's growing, it's a much bigger problem. Okay, so what I want to touch on now is the technology and the fiber channel standards called NCIB. And quite simply, it's a methodology for a single point-to-point fiber channel connection into a fabric to obtain more than one fiber channel address on the fabric. So essentially, it can look to the rest of the fabric as if it were multiple HBA. But they're obviously sharing this one physical link. The mechanism is hinged on having unique names for each one of these instances. So you always have this relationship on the physical port. The physical port had its own worldwide port name, no name, and it was bound to it, you know, like a hard MAC address. And through software mechanisms, you can provide additional names. They can register with the fabric, and for all intents and purposes, they end up looking like a unique entity on the fabric for another HBA. So we've taken this, we've implemented it in our adapters, primarily going to be present on the 4 gig adapters as a standard feature. We've then been implementing the device driver software to enable this and working with VMware to start integrating this functionality into ESX. And the primary opportunity here is we can reestablish that single server instance knowledge for the SAN to the virtual machine by using it. So we can use an NPID instance, bind it to a virtual machine, and suddenly the virtual machine has its presence on the SAN again. And you can start to use the same best practices that you have, such as zoning, LUN masking, tools and diagnosis and so on, exactly like you did in the past with single port physical HBA. So that's really the advantage though. That's actually why we got into CS, because when you start doing this, the worldwide names that come along with this end up being an integral resource of the virtual machine. And the advantage here is, just like vMotion can move from ESX server to ESX server, the NPID instance can move with it as well. So there's a real big plus there. And it also says that now you can be swapping out physical hardware that it's there, the HPAs, the servers itself, and you don't have to change your SAN config. Now, there are obviously some flip sides that says, yes, you're managing a lot more instances because you're managing it to the virtual machine level, but, you know, it's still very similar to the number of servers you've had in the past, and really the main purpose is you're trying to get that visibility out on the SAN for, you know, a number of reasons. There are, and actually you'll see initiatives by us and through things like ManyCourse to start driving authentication and other things to combat that. Okay. Right now, we work very closely with VMware to basically make this so integrally tied with Virtual Center and the tool set from VMware that you know, that's as controlled as possible. So this is what we saw when we started to try and engage with VMware. For new technologies of this, there's more work than what's needed to just do the device driver. The device driver almost ends up being the easy work. You know, we can't control that. But to make this really effective, we've got to get it built into the kernel. We've got to put APIs in place. We've got to get tools created. We've got to get it integrated seamlessly into virtual machine, virtual center tool set and the motion creation and so on like that. So there's a lot of work that has to be done just for infrastructure that's outside of our device driver. And when we looked at Community Source, that was one way that we can actually go in, start prototyping, start using the resources of the engineers that are backing Community Source and start to solve these issues to make a well-integrated, you know, system-level design solution. So that's really our advantage of being a Community Source here. And since we can play an active role in getting this done in ESX, ultimately that translates into being able to get the feature into the market sooner and working. It also builds the relationships between the two teams so the product deployment actually happens sooner than it typically does too. So what did we do? We created a project. I don't know how many of you have actually taken a look at the license agreements and so on, but there's a lot of choices on types of projects. The one we created was open, so it's not locked in to Emulex. QLogic is actually a participant in the group. We started the project on the ESX 3.0 branch, and all the kernel-level prototyping and driver prototyping has been done on that. Going along with the project is an email reflector that gets set up, and essentially that's what we do for the bulk of the day-to-day communication. And then we have bi-weekly con calls, basically a touch base between all the participants and make sure that we're following roadmaps and you know, moving the project forward. Some of the things that we've seen come out of this or we've been able to achieve. We originally proposed an API to VMware as part of the CES effort that actually became the API that is integrated into ESX. VMware has worked tightly with this to put the hooks into the ESX kernel and into the configuration software and so on for Virtual Center to actually get MCID to work. We have created a technology preview based on Community Source, where what we did is we took the Community Source ESX kernel sources, built a set of RPMs so we can take a vanilla ESX 3.0 system, lay down a set of RPMs that now add MPIB support, including our MPIB-based driver, and then we can run demonstrations, which you can see down at our booth, of vMotion actually starting the MPIB instance when the virtual machine starts up. You can see the SAN connectivity through it. When vMotion actually migrates the machine to another server, you can see the virtual port entity here actually shut down and migrate with the virtual machine. So we've been able to do all this through the... Okay. So we're limited in hardware there. But that's the functionality we've been able to get to here with Community Source using the, you know, the facilities provided there. So it's given us a great demonstration and technical, you know, preview of this feature on ESS. And you, yeah. You will see the NPIV support come out in the first half of next year. Yep.
But everything's still stuck in the Community Source kernel.
Well, it's been done there, but it's actually migrated now into the ESS kernel, so it's in the VMware processes.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying that none of the
That's correct.
Coming in first half 2007 within like 4 months.
Correct. All right, so some of our general impressions. Go ahead. Yep.
How could I, as a large customer, get a hold of it for testing purposes right now for general functionality?
You'd need to work with...
You
can talk to that guy. Yeah, ultimately this is a preview, so we're going to be very controlled on how deployed it gets for everybody's reasons. Okay, so some of the positives here. Obviously, since you get source code to ESX, you can make modifications in other areas other than just your device driver. So, you know, that's the first pro. The biggest advantage of that is really you can start to understand really how ESX works. It's no longer just reading the papers and kind of assuming based on startup logs and things like that on how it's running. You can actually get into the kernel and see the behaviors and see how things are really put together. So that is a major advantage of getting into Community Source. Another advantage is VMware has been very good about staffing the project with engineers that are very dedicated to our project, such as Alan. So we typically have very good response times. We have good technical discussions with real people that care about making it become a part of ESX. As I mentioned, a great ability to create change. I look at that as by Community Source, us being able to create that tech preview, be able to take it out on the road and start to show it and show that this works and works with VMware, that's a very large positive. In just working with Community Source, the things that we found were really good was the documentation. I don't know if you've looked at a lot of the Linux documentation and how-tos and so on. It varies from every distro to distro and so on, but the VMware folks for Community Source have really worked hard to make good user-level documents and how-tos to do a lot of things. Supporting many of the efforts under ESX, VMware creates test suites. For example, for the NPIV product, a VMware engineer actually went through the API, created a test bench for various device drivers to check out the API, and that was all done under this project. There's pretty good bug tracking tools, which you know, you always got to have those. And I think I mentioned that a good support team, and I think that's been the real advantage of it. So some of the cons. Community Source doesn't have everything for the ESX product. Mainly it contains just the kernel. It doesn't contain applications or tool suites and, or no, tool suites, wrong word, but the applications such as Virtual Center and so on. So it's a little difficult to create some of the test applications. And especially if you're trying to get into the tool chain such as Virtual Center, that still takes a lot of interaction with VMware to try and make that happen. There's certainly some growth pains that we've seen in CS and just trying to understand some of the processes of how you go from community source into the ESX kernel, how you migrate from there into true support statements, the working relationships with the companies of actually qualifying and getting the product in the actual ESX release. If you're comparing this with open source, there isn't as large a breadth of communities that you deal with. There is a more dedicated focus team that you deal with, which, you know, in both respects, that can be good and bad. And ultimately, when it comes down to getting the product into ESX, it still becomes an effort of working partner to partner to get the functionality there and deploy. So you can't do everything through CS, but you can certainly accelerate the new feature into ESX. Yeah.
So I found the third bullet, so that's very
that's really just illustrating the last bullet right now, and just stating that it is still going through growth, growth processes here. So as these requirements come up, VMware is working on trying to resolve those types of things. But right now, it still does depend on partner-to-partner interactions to resolve that. And as Alan says, they are trying to make it better, but you know that'll happen over time. All right, so I was asked to give a little overview of kind of comparing community source to open source. I think I've touched on several of these bullets already. Similarities really are, once you have access to the code, and if you really have a desire and you want to put skin in the game to work on things that are typically outside of your normal domain, you can do that and you can make it happen. You know, the technology preview that we put together for MPIV is a prime example of that. You can also go through the kernel code, just like under Linux, for example, and see everything that's occurring in the kernel, understand the system behaviors, error handling, and so on. And then both use a lot of email because we're a distributed team, and both have very knowledgeable residents there. So there's a lot of similarities here. In general, I would say ESX is far better on responding to email. You know, if you go to the open source, you may send it to several thousand people. You may get absolutely no response. Depending on the attention level of some people, you may get phenomenal responses. But it's you know, generally, you can, on both lists here, you can get to very knowledgeable people to answer your question. Some of the differences really comes into the processes that occur behind the scenes. So if we look at ESX, we really have VMware as managing the entire process under the rules for community source. In general, once you set up a project, there's participants on it. Everyone has direct access to the source control, so it's usually a very quick process to say, I'm making this change, do you approve, let's review it, and let's submit it. Because it's staffed by people that are really part of this project and interested in the project, they have the attention cycle to actually concentrate on it and give that review quickly. And the other thing is, when you look at some of these code changes that go in, because everybody is working with a common goal of getting the feature into ESX and making it beneficial to the user on the end run, there's far more, pragmatism that goes into some of these myths. I'll put it that way. And I'll compare that just in a sec to Linux. And there's also a lot more requirements on compatibility to go into ESX than in open source. The Linux model right now has no kernel ABI. It really does that for a reason, which allows change within the kernel. They leave it up to the distribution, free snapshots of that, and keep the ABI consistent. But the open source community itself, you know, treats that as one of its positives. And as I mentioned, I think the documentation across the board for ESX is very good. So if you go to Linux, well, you're talking more of the legal IP arrangements, right? I'll let VMware take it.
One day,
Okay, so starting over here at Linux, as I mentioned, ESX is really a single company managing the process, so you know who to go to actually invoke change. When you're dealing in the open source community, there's lots of different entities. I'm going to use just the Linux kernel as example here. There's the kernel maintainers themselves, kind of rooted behind Linux. Below each one of those, there's subsystem maintainers. And basically, there's this nice, well, semi-nice tree of just responsibility in the community. And you essentially have to work within the area that you need to evoke change. Sometimes you have to go through several different groups to coordinate a core change that has to be done in the kernel. And that's really just the upstream Linux kernel. And then you need to go to each distributor of the kernel, which have their own snapshot, their own release state. So if you're putting a new functionality in there, you have to say, does it match? Actually, something can be done in a service pack or update. You know, do we need to wait for final release? You know, so on. So there's just a lot more entities you have to coordinate with. In the Linux community, acceptance is a bit cloudy. I mentioned with ESX, because we have a team that really is concentrating on the project, there's usually a very quick response. In Linux, it can be across the board. Sometimes you can put out a patch and you hear nothing for weeks. Other times you'll put out a patch and it will be immediately claimed by 100 folks. Now the integration of the patch, even when it's accepted, is a very different process as well, because typically it goes into a subsystem maintainer's tree. It sits there for a while. It's intended to go through testing in this tree, and then it eventually goes through a migration process into the upstream kernel, where it then becomes one of the release candidates in a release, goes through more testing, and then it finally pops out as an actual feature. So if you look at some of the timelines for when it actually gets in the kernel, Linux timeline is obviously longer. There's no doubt about it. But then again, if you look at actual product deployment, you can be in the upstream kernel faster because you're not hindered by the actual product release issues for ESX. But I'll bring it back again. Now, I may be in the upstream kernel, which means it's generally available and so on, but I'm not in a distribution release yet. So I hope that makes sense. So the processes are a bit different there. The other thing, the large community review, I view this mainly as a large positive on Linux side. There are some very, very smart folks out there. It's great having larger numbers of people reviewing the code. Now, flip side that of open source development is you get a lot more of the architectural style, let's do this in this manner. Not that it's wrong, but I want to do it in a completely different way. So you end up going through and reworking it and doing it yet again, and then you submit it, and the third guy comes in and kind of does the same thing. And then you end up negotiating between the guys kind of where you're going to go and what the implementation is. And, of course, you do this in a process where it works best by submitting source code, which means you've already implemented it, at least as a prototype. It doesn't work very well just in concept. People just, for whatever reason, even if you write it up well, it doesn't work. You don't get a lot of responses. So there's a lot of good and bad there, but if you contrast it with what happens under ESX, the Linux kernel is more concerned on architectural purity versus how do we tailor this to make it an extremely happy user experience, I'll put it that way. And I already commented on just the Linux kernel has a lot more flexibility in making changes, which is good because there are some things you would like to break to get your new feature in, versus ESX being more focused on keeping the compatibility there so it's more stable for the customer deployment. It's really the difference between a real product and, a development effort. I'll put it that way. And then documentation on Linux. Some is extremely good. Some is extremely poor. It goes across the board. So any questions on this slide? Okay, so just trying to summarize here. The benefits we really saw were time to market is the main one. Given community source and having access to the code, and being able to make changes not only in our area but in others. You can accelerate the development of a feature for ESX, and it becomes a proposal then to go immediately into VMware. And in doing so, you also created the relationship to discuss that and put it into the product. And the other advantage was CS gave us the ability to create this tech preview so we can actually do demonstrations out on the road and start showing people the advantages of it. So just tips. Obviously, get started early. Never try and do something late. These are, you know, a little bit of mom and apple pie. Take advantage of when you are joined to CS of the attention that community source engineers give you. You know, they are there to answer questions. If you're looking to do a particular function, they can point you to how-tos. They can accelerate your learning curve. A lot of good things there. Before you ever get into it, make sure you understand the licensing agreement and understand the type of project you really want to create, whether it's open, partially open, and so on. Use those technology previews and so on to go out and validate what you're doing in with VMware and making sure it makes sense. And then just realize that nothing ever gets done immediately. Everything takes time, especially when we're talking enterprise quality. It all goes through qualification matrices and staging and so on. So just be realistic there. You can expect the change, but you still have to do your normal product deployment. Any other questions? Good, that's it. And I guess they put this here to remind you. So did everyone get your questions answered for what you wanted to get out of this? Session. Good. And thanks for getting up this morning and being here. I appreciate it. So, thank you.
Thank you. What else is coming?
It's the only formal one we formally kicked off.
We have about other ideas that we would like to do here. I don't know if it's going to be community or what, but there's another thing in management where we really are able to have interaction with other VMware. And there's other architectures. Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's proven to be more and more valuable every day.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.